Hey, I'm Bruce Weinstein, and this is the podcast Cooking with Bruce and Mark.
And I'm Mark Scarborough, and together with Bruce, we have written dozens of cookbooks, sold near unto 1.5 million copies of those books, and we have developed over 10,000 of original recipes and written them over 20 some odd years in the food business. I can't believe I started in this business when I was only 8 years old, and it's been 25 years. So there you go. This is our food and
cooking. You don't look good for your age.
No, thanks. Thanks awfully. You mean I don't look good for a 32-year-old or however old I am? Wait, 8 and 25. I can't do math. 33-year-old? Really? Okay, anyway. On this episode of our podcast, as is traditional, we're going to have a one-minute cooking tip. We're going to tell you the truth about online recipes and how you can make them work. And this is a subject that's very near and dear to my heart because I am garnering a lot of recipes off of Instagram Reels and TikTok lately and cooking a lot of vegan recipes, especially from UK chefs, off TikTok and Instagram Reels. So we want to talk to you about kind of what to look for in internet recipes, and we'll tell you what's making us happy in food this week. So let's get started.
Our one-minute cooking tip. It's all about when you're cooking for friends or family. Everybody wants to help. Everybody drives
they
me
do.
Crazy.
They
if you're
do.
Like me, it drives you crazy. You hate cooking with people.
Bruce doesn't even really like me to cook with him.
Oh, no. No. I'll go away when you cook. And
he
I do.
Doesn't really like anybody in the kitchen with him.
But sometimes people insist. So here's what I do. I leave really small tasks that I can give someone who insists, even if it's as simple as, can you take this bottle of olive oil back to my pantry? Can you put the raisins back in the pantry? Otherwise, people force themselves into your cook space, and, well, that doesn't always go so well.
Yeah, as Bruce has rather campily said, would you add a brush stroke to Renoir's painting?
Well,
so
not...
why are you asking to take the brush from my hand?
We had a dinner party once, and friends were over, and this woman of this couple was desperate to help me. She was standing in the kitchen with me, and I made a rack of lamb, and I was cutting the racks into slices, and she was like, let me help you, let me help. And I'm like, no. So she decided it would be very helpful to throw her hands onto my cutting board to hold it steady as I'm slicing the rack of lambs into bones with my 12-inch chef's knife.
And guess what happened to her finger?
I cut it so badly that we thought we were going to have to go to the emergency room and have it sewn back on. Luckily, we didn't.
Okay, but, well, you got to the bone, but you did
I cut down to the bone. It was pretty bad.
No, but you did make it.
Who throws their hands on your cutting board because they didn't have something else to do? So give your guests something simple and dumb to do, and then they won't do something dumb like put their hands on your cutting
board.
That's
true. I think it's really important to offer people something to do, but I can tell you that just on a personal level, the one thing I don't want help on in any circumstances is clearing the table. It is just this thing that I have that I'm generally the one who clips. Bruce cooks, of course, as the chef, most of what we serve to other people. But I clear the table, and sometimes we do multi-coursed plated meals. So there's a lot of clearing and resetting, and, you know, I have lots of silverware out, and I'm pulling away dirty silverware and plates and all that. And people seem to always want to jump up and help me put it in the kitchen. And I'm always like, don't, because I have a whole system of where I want the dirty plates to go, where I want the dirty silverware to go. I want it in, you know, I fill a bowl of water in the sink, and I want to put the dirty silverware in there, and I want to put the plates over here, and I want to rinse them. But it's a whole thing.
Yeah,
I got
everyone
a whole
has
dance.
Their own method.
I got a whole dance going on, and it does not help me either. It's just a pet peeve, and sorry to be so obsessive about this. It doesn't help me either to help me and carry stuff into the kitchen, nor does it help me to pass plates down a table and stack them up, because now I have to wash both sides of the plates before I put them to the side before they go in the dishwasher. And it makes my whole system screw up. And I know I'm being ridiculously type A.
You're not,
but
actually.
It's just me.
We have some very good friends who have some very, very expensive china, and they don't stack, and they make it very clear when they clear the plates away, they bring two plates at a time into the kitchen. And I've been to their house at dinner parties where other guests have insisted on helping even though they were told no, and these gorgeous dishes got stacked, and the look on our friend's
face.
I mean,
these are really, really fine French porcelain,
hand painted,
and you wouldn't dare stack them. And we have, just to say, we have plates from a Hollywood designer that my great aunt bought years and years ago. In my family, they referred to as the damn green dishes. But we have the damn green dishes, and they are these weirdly painted gold, deep green plates with this kind of weird psychedelic gold painting across them. And I don't want anybody messing with those because they chip, because they're fragile, and because I don't want the gold to chip off.
So back to the initial part of this tip is have other tiny little things you can give people to do. Rather than carry the dishes back to the kitchen, let them blow out candles or turn off your electric candles.
Or I say, can you help me blow out candles? Or if we're in the middle of dinner, I say, oh, could you pour some more water around the table for me? That would help me a lot.
It makes them feel like they're doing something.
Yeah, and then it's great. Okay, so now enough being nastily prohibitive.
And our 6-minute cooking tip.
I know, and we sound like we're such divas. Anyway, well, we are.
Well.
If the glass slipper fits, just go ahead and wear it, darling. So before we get to the next bit of the podcast, let me say that it would be great if you could rate this podcast, if you could subscribe to it to get it every week, and if you can write a review, even great podcast or lots of fun, that would be terrific in whatever language and whatever platform you're on. I know Spotify doesn't allow you to write a review. Some platforms do, some don't. In any event, we would appreciate that to continue the work of Cooking with Bruce and Mark, because we're just doing this on our own and we're not supported. We're not asking for any money. It's the whole thing. So that is a way that you can help us out. Okay, up next, the big central segment of this podcast, the truth about online recipes.
Most of us look for recipes online rather than reaching for a cookbook. And as a cookbook author, you know, even I do it. It's what happens.
And so this segment is about how to put us out of business and how to make our mortgage go into default.
Well, sometimes it's great. And the recipes are real, especially from a trusted source. I mean, I like Serious Eats. I go there a lot. But there are thousands of food blogs that are still up with recipes that we have to look at more carefully before we go shopping and waste our time and money making them.
Yeah. I mean, as I said at the opening of the podcast, I am cooking a lot of vegan food lately, and I'm following a lot of vegan chefs. I think this started when we had Phil Corey on our podcast, and he is the head pastry chef at Harrods, and he's got a new vegan baking book out. It's not so new now, but he's got a vegan baking book out. And I kind of from there forward, I started cooking more vegan, and I really love doing it. And I love watching the Instagram reels or the TikTok. It's usually the same thing because they post it everywhere of these chefs. And I love the stuff they make. It's crazy. I've never considered how to make a cheese sauce without cheese and cream. And I'm learning all kinds of things from them, which is great. But I will tell you that I have had quite a few failures. Mm-hmm. And I have had quite a few things where I have followed the recipe exactly and it absolutely falls apart. So let's go back to the old school days when bloggers were around. And there's a lot of these blogs that still exist, of course, millions of them that still exist. And some of them are not being refreshed and some of them are still being refreshed. Some food bloggers are still in business out there. And you know as well as I do that one of the things that people complain about is that food bloggers don't present recipes until you drag yourself through 10,000 words of content. But there's a reason for that.
Authors tell you their life story before getting into the actual recipe, and here's why. Blame the algorithm.
Yep.
Blame search engine optimization.
Yep.
Let's say two food bloggers both post a guacamole recipe at the same time on Monday, and one is just, here's my recipe and here's a picture of it, and the other is prefaced with a long, winding story about this blogger's memory of picking avocados in the old country with the grandmother. That's the one that the algorithm is going to pick to give a higher yield and will come up first when you search for guacamole.
And that's
recipes.
Because the algorithm is seeing more keywords. It's seeing cilantro. It's seeing avocado. It's seeing all these words that are popping up. It's seeing grandmother. And so the algorithm is seeing, I know I'm so weird, it's seeing, like it's AI, but it is AI seeing. The algorithm is seeing these things and it's noting keywords. And especially if the blogger is able to repeat the word like cilantro or avocado multiple times over the course of the page, then it is going to really jump as a keyword on the page.
But note on most of those blog pages, there is going to be a block you can click at the top that says jump to recipe.
Yeah.
Sometimes they've programmed that you have to click it a few times before it does
it.
Yeah,
it's lately is the thing. You got to click multiple times.
But it will then scroll through all that garbage you don't care about to get down to the recipe. So now you're down at that recipe, but you have to look at other things about it. Does the recipe have stars and comments? Well,
yeah, and make sure you don't just pay attention to stars. because, and listen, this is no shade on bloggers. We're all trying to figure out how to do what we do. But a lot of bloggers will open up multiple email accounts and they will multiply like their own stories. This has become really problematic in TikTok videos in which TikTok essentially lets you open up many, many, many accounts under your name. And so then you just sign into all of your accounts and you like your own videos and even comment on your own videos off your other accounts. So it is a problem. So what you want to look for is not necessarily the perfectly said comment like, this recipe is beautiful and reminds me of my grandmother. You want to look for the more real comment like, oh, I made this and it tasted good, or I made this and my hubby didn't like it, or you want to look for those comments.
But pay attention to comments that have complaints. Some of them are really genuine, and it's important. Yep. Like, you know, I made this recipe and it was a little too salty. So if you make it, try, you know, cutting down the salt. Or someone said it didn't have enough acid, so I added more lemon juice. Those are helpful comments. But sometimes people will say, I love this recipe. It's perfect, but I substituted cauliflower for the chicken. And I substituted, you know, ground pork for the breadcrumbs, and I substituted baking soda for the flour because they're both white and powdery. And okay, so you didn't really make this recipe, did you? So you have to pay attention to both people who complain it didn't work because they made the changes and people who loved it because they made the changes.
Yeah, and be really careful on Reels and on TikTok these days about uber slick videos. There are production companies now that are fabricating influencers. They work very hard to fabricate them. And if you watch any Instagram or TikTok food stuff, I'm sure you've seen the two British boys who go all over the United States and talk all about how great U.S. food is and Austin barbecue joints and all that kind of stuff. But if you really look at what's going on there, there are sound people, there are multiple camera people, there are directors, and sometimes they even hand food to the boom operator and all that kind of stuff. But if you just think about it, you have to step back and say, wait a minute, this is a produced TV show. And so their reaction, maybe it's honest and maybe it's not, but it is less real. There's this guy that I see a lot that is hyper-produced, and he does a lot of vegan baking, which, of course, you know, it's going to show up in my feed. And he is always shirtless. He's always wearing jeans and shirtless. He has an absolutely drop-dead gorgeous body. But when I watch what he does, I think to myself, wait a minute. You can't get cinnamon rolls to rise in 20 minutes.
You can if you're shirtless.
Yeah, that's
and
exactly
you're, because you're hot
it.
And you're putting out heat, so they rise faster.
That must be
they rise for you because you're hot.
That's clearly it. And he is overproduced. Yeah. So be really, I'm not saying cynical, just be careful. Watch people who are more real in what they do, and it feels more real. Bruce and I are doing a lot of, and not to toot our own horn, but we're doing a lot of TikTok videos right now, and we leave a lot of the mistakes. We have one that went up the other day, and I actually put something in my mouth, and it fell on the counter out of my mouth.
Eat much?
And we left it in there because we thought that at least it showed that we weren't overproducing the stuff, that it was actually a recipe that we had developed and worked on together. And I just encourage you to be very careful about what you make or pull off. I have to be very careful about what I do. Yeah. For example, I did a recipe a while back that had a vegan cream sauce in it, and it had silken soft tofu and nutritional yeast, or as the kids now call it, noosh.
Noosh. That's the name of our dog, noosh.
It is. Our dog is Nosh.
And we call him
we
noosh.
Call him noosh. So it has nutritional yeast or noosh, and it had silken tofu. And, you know, you blend this up to make a faux cream sauce, and it is kind of amazing. It's smoked paprika and garlic powder, and it does make an amazing cream sauce. Okay, vegan cream sauce. But the proportions were all wrong, and B, this person advocated my pouring it into the chickpea stew and then letting it simmer for 30 minutes. that tofu is going to break. I know this. That tofu is going to break, and it's going to be disgusting. You're going to end up with a curdled-looking mess.
Yummy.
So I know that recipe is not exactly right. Just use your smarts when you pull these recipes off the internet.
And when you find a recipe on one person's blog, before you jump to make it, even if all the other cues are right, look around at other blogs. See if that recipe is exactly the same on other people's sites, because sometimes people just copy recipes and it's just like, you know, cookie cutter. You'll find 100 blogs with the same recipe that no one's tested. So look for one that's unique, and that'll help you out too.
Just to say, this is totally anecdotal, and I'm sorry, this sounds like, again, I'm tooting my horn. But when Bruce and I years ago came up with this cake in which we grind a whole orange, you quarter it and take out the seeds, and you grind it in a food processor with sugar, and then you just pick the cake batter in the food processor, adding milk and adding flour, et cetera. And I don't know that this is original to us, but I have to tell you that when we posted that, I saw it everywhere. It's suddenly, within 6 months, everybody had posted it on their blogs. And I'm not saying that they ripped us off in any way. I don't know that for sure. But it was really weird that it just appeared everywhere all of a sudden.
Unless the algorithm was showing you those, they may have already been out there because then we posted one. It's possible.
It's possible. And I don't think we made that up. But I can tell you that I used to spend, I don't anymore because it's not worth my time, I used to spend a lot of time searching the internet back in the day of splash pages and the early day of the internet, a lot of time tracing down our recipes and tracking them down and asking people to take them down.
God, I remember that.
Yeah, remember that? And I would spend like a whole day each week doing that.
Back when the internet was new and young and exciting.
Small.
And it wasn't just porn.
No, that's pretty much what it's always
started,
been.
It started
as porn. It's pretty much, it was that way when I was an academic with emails. So no, it was pretty much always been that.
Your emails were porn?
Well, people did send stuff around, even in academic departments, because of course it was hidden on the server. Anyway, let's get off that. And let's say that we have a couple bits of advice here. Don't forget that libraries have all kinds of online services where you can download books for free. Mm-hmm. And we do this all the time. We download cookbooks that we might want from our local library through its portal. And then if we like it, we buy it.
And almost every library can give you access to an online collection that's bigger than they even have in their shelves. And here's another tip that I'm going to give you that shouldn't be coming from an author at all. But if you go to an online bookseller, whether it's Amazon or Barnes & Noble or Books A Million, many of these sites have an option to download a sample of the book for free.
Yep.
If you download that, you might be lucky enough to grab a recipe in those sample pages that you really like, and then you didn't have to buy the book. But the hope is you'll like that enough to then download the whole book and give the author a royalty.
The hope is an author. But it's true that you can often find things there that are good on their own. And again, your local library is a great way to find downloaded books. And if you have the wherewithal, you don't have to, but if you find a book that you like, it's nice to buy it because you're supporting a small business owner, a cookbook author. Mm-hmm. You're supporting a small business owner, and that's nice. But again, nobody's going to dish you for not doing it. And certainly Bruce and I download tons of books all the time.
Yes, we do.
Let's talk about what's making us happy in food this week.
For me, it's Banchan Chicken. I got to go there by myself this week. I was out by the Farmington Mall in Farmington, Connecticut. And I was sitting in the car in the parking lot, and I was hungry. And I had an hour and a half before a meeting, and I thought, I can get a Shake Shack, or I can get a Banchan Chicken.
That would be a hard choice, I would go to Banchan
Chicken. And I got the 8-piece. And I got half with the spicy, and man, they're spicy.
I love
spicy
that spicy sauce.
And half with the Korean barbecue, and it was really good.
Yeah, we love Banchan. If you don't know, it's a chain, and you can find them
international. They're all over the world.
Yeah, and you can find them everywhere. And they're fried chicken. I particularly like the chicken legs. Bruce likes the tenders.
Yeah, the strips.
I like the legs because I love all that bony leg meat. But it's really good chicken, and you should try it out sometime.
I know that. I say always makes you laugh.
And with an advertisement for these people, I guess, or something like that. What made me happy in food this week is that we were invited to a friend's house, and the husband of this couple is just a terrific cook, and he made a veal marengo roast.
Mm, God,
it was unbelievable. He made it with a Brussels sprout dish with
pasta on the side.
And there was pasta on the side.
With roasted mushrooms and olives.
And I just want to say, despite the fact that this was, of course, and then he made an olive oil cake with a raspberry glaze top. And it was all incredibly delicious. But I just want to say that it's just so nice to be cooked for.
Mm-hmm.
It's so nice for other people to cook for you. And you know, of course, as cookbook writers, people are often afraid to cook for us, which is absurd. I'll eat your meatloaf anytime. But people are afraid to cook for us. And you shouldn't be. And I just want to remind you.
Oh, is that a call to be invited to dinner?
Sure. And I just want to remind you that having people over and feeding them is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. And a thing that you should include more often in your life, because the people who are there, maybe they don't show it, and maybe they don't even send you a thank you note or call the next day, which they should.
Or they don't get invited back.
No, stop. But even if they don't do those things, you know that it is an incredibly luxurious experience to be cooked for by someone else. So please try that out in your life. All right, that's our podcast for this week. Thanks for being along with us. We appreciate your time. We know the podcast landscape is gigantic, and we appreciate the time that you choose to spend with us.
And every week we tell you what's making us happy in food, so tell us what's making you happy in food this week on our Facebook group, Cooking with Bruce and Mark. We will share really exciting ones and talk about them here on Cooking with Bruce and Mark.